And then someone went,
testing, 1, 2.
I can really taste the bacteria.
What's up, John? What's up, John Burton?
1, 2, 3, 4. Why you can't have a best?
Okay, wait. Let me rewind. John, you're right.
Right. I'm just going to play us in a little bit.
When are you going to tell me we're starting?
We started.
Okay. Awesome. Cool.
Welcome.
Hey, welcome to you, too.
I live here.
I didn't realize.
Where do you live?
I live in Danbury, Connecticut right now on Candlewood Lake.
Oh, cool.
I've been in the Hudson Valley for 20 years, and I'm definitely going back. I am...
Can you just tip that microphone so you're talking into it? Like,
yeah.
Towards you. There you go.
There we go.
No, yeah. The head of it. Like just.
Yeah.
Perfect.
There we are. I won't turn my head too far away from this. All right, cool. So, yeah. I'm a Hudson Valley girl at heart, so.
Where were you born?
Long Island, but we don't say long. From Port Jefferson.
Okay, all right.
Suffolk County, way out, you know.
Right.
And, you know, it was a place that was a nice place to grow up, but I couldn't see myself there. So, I love this area.
Cool. I'm good. Hold on. I'm just going to just hit mic for you. Hold on. Give me one
Thanks.
Second. No worries.
Thanks for roadieing it for me.
There you go. You kind of went like that. There you go. Except it's not staying.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. Perfect.
Oh, you want this end pointed at me. Okay, cool.
Yeah, now you're louder.
Do you want this end pointed down more?
Yep. Beautiful.
Okay, I'm always used to the front of the mic hitting me.
Right.
Not the top of the mic.
Yeah, these you want the... Welcome to podcasting. These you want... Have you ever done one before?
Yeah, I've done some podcasts before.
Oh, who have you done?
Gosh, I'm trying to think of the names of them right now. But yeah, sure. I've done some podcasts and a couple of them. One on professional confessionals, which was about
what'd you confess?
It was about my day job, which is as a fashion stylist. And that was totally different thing.
Do you still do that?
Yes, I have to pay for a recording.
Right. what do you make of that? That recording artists can't make living recording. We talk about that all the time.
Again, yeah,
how much it sucks.
What I make of that is that. Well, where I'm at with it right now is that there's technology for us all, and I'm trying to learn it. And I've bought it, and you know, thanks to the pandemic, I now own a lot of recording equipment that's great. So I need to learn to use it, and I think that's where the future lies. I still
hold on. I got to get some questions, but I'm going to turn your voice up. Hold on.
Yeah.
You're still not there. Hold on.
Yeah.
Give me 1 second.
I can hear me, but sure. Can you hear me?
Beautiful. Say something now?
I'm saying something now.
There we go. All right. No more moving. All right. Good. So, yeah, we talk about the technology a lot. So the technology, it's good and it's bad. It's good in that, tell me what you think. This is my dumb opinion.
Yeah.
It's good in that it gives musicians access to recording that wouldn't have it over because studio time is a gazillion dollars.
Yeah.
The bad part of it is it dilutes the overall quality because a musician who works and saves money for studio time and sits with a producer who knows what they're doing is at a more dedicated level than a musician who gets Audacity and records into it and uses the preset compressor filters and does it that way. So on the one hand, it's good, but on the other hand,
yes.
Right?
Yes. absolutely. Everything you just said there, you know, I've been lucky enough to record in studios, and I've got, you know, one band album, Diamond Hotel Band album out, and another one that was recorded around the pandemic that I'm putting out. And those are studio recordings, beautiful. And I've been recording down in Beacon in a studio. But, you know, what I think the future is for me in technology, and I'll just say what I'm doing with it, because everyone's different, is that I love recording with a producer. I love recording with other ears. I love not having to stop every time I've done a take and, you know, do the tech part, because it's two brains.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for me in the future, it's going to be about doing better demos of my own work to bring to producers, because, you know, I'm never going to be that. I'm never going to say I am going to be, wow, you know, I'm going to be that person who spends, you know, 24/7 in the studio with the gear, knowing that stuff. I have such respect for producers. So I think it does serve a purpose. I really do, you know, for me.
Right.
You know, to refine it.
Right. It does. It definitely lets you do better demos for sure.
Yeah.
But then, you know, it's funny because we're talking about recording in a studio, and I was having this conversation recently too. It's worth it. I a lot of my best friends are producers. It's worth it to get into a studio. The challenge
yes.
is
yes.
you are making music no one will ever hear because you are producing at the MP4 dot name it level, and everybody's only hearing the MP3 through earbuds.
Mm-hmm.
So you're producing, it's good for you. You get to hear it because you're sitting there, it's only as good, it gets bottlenecked by the delivery mechanism.
Yeah. No, I understand. Yeah, it does. It depends on everyone's fidelity system, too.
Most people's. I mean, if you want to be popular, most people's earbuds.
Yeah. But I do know people who are audiophiles.
Oh, sure.
Have all the gear, and they'll sit there with the headphones on and listen, and, you know.
It's the only way to do it. Just so
I know.
Does it.
I will say, like, I've, you know, recorded harmonies for other songwriters and sent, like, at home, and I couldn't do that before, and
right.
I sent them. And, you know, they're on people's records. And, you know, I did one for Jillian Matundin recently on a couple of songs. You know, that's, you know, really cool. You know, I worked in the studio with her and Kelly Lynn Knott, you know, another singer-songwriter. She sent me harmonies and... you know, it's really great to use the technology at home if you can.
How long have you been playing?
Well, all my life I've been playing music. You know, I studied classical piano when I was a kid for 10 years and was getting bored and, you know, was starting to play the Spanish guitar in the house that my mom got when she studied in Madrid. And, you know, I had a band when I was 11 and, you know, did that stuff. But I started writing poetry, and I couldn't figure out how to get it together, you know, with mm-hmm. the music. So I would just play covers, you know. And then I was in a giant car crash when I was, you know, one fine summer day, you know, way past this. My daughter was little, and it put me in the hospital trauma unit for a week, and forgot a song about it, actually. And
what happened?
There was a guy having a heart attack who hit me head on.
Oof.
And I had a year of my life to sit around the house and figure out what I was going to do. And these songs just started coming together.
Mm.
And, you know, lyrics started pouring out of me and music at the same time. And it was all coming together in a cohesive way like I had always wanted it to. But... something clicked. Anyway, so I'm very grateful for that best bad thing that ever happened to me.
Mm.
And,
okay.
Yeah.
I ask everybody this. You write music.
Yes.
Do you write it? Do
yes.
you channel it? Is it a muse? Is it... How does it come?
I believe I open myself to channel it. That's my process. I've always felt that it was a channeling thing for mm-hmm. me. Like it's from somewhere else. I don't even know what to believe in, but I believe in that. I believe that it...
Have you ever written something so good that you didn't write it?
Yeah.
That you can't write it?
Yes. Yeah. I feel there have been a couple of times where I've written things and then I've actually sent them to a few people and said, have you heard this before? Because I'm sure it was already written. And they said, no, I don't know what you're talking right. about. So that's, you know, that's the thing. You know, a lot of musicians say the same thing. I know.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. I do. Do you handwrite or type lyrics?
That's very interesting because you use two different parts of your brain to handwrite and type.
Right.
Usually I'll write it in my laptop or something. But sometimes I'm, you know, it's something in my head. I'm driving. I get home. I just scribble it down. And I start, you know, I have a line and I start playing chords under it and it just starts gelling that way.
Words come first for you?
No. It's usually words and melodies come together.
Okay.
And then I start hearing more of it, more and more in my head musically.
Right.
So it's usually musical these days. It used to be words and now it's an idea. I feel the idea bubbling, like I'm so upset about this week and I can't believe someone did this, or you know, whatever the topic of the week is for me, I find it bubbling up and then I'll come to this line if I give myself enough space, which is the key for any writer, is to give yourself time and space for that process.
That's why I always argue for handwriting. Same, I always argue for handwriting because I think at handwriting speed, and handwriting just gives you that extra third of a second for every word just to make sure.
Mm.
So I always argue handwriting because it lets me craft.
Is that
better.
Your process?
Yeah. Well, yeah, handwriting, and then I mean, ultimately, I put them in a doc so that to write, yeah, everything by hand.
I do both. And some songs are one way, some songs are another, and it's not one way or the other for me. I find that I'm just open to whatever is presenting itself.
That's awesome. And counter to my always by hand argument is the idea that some of the best shit just comes to you in 30 seconds and you don't need to think about it.
Yeah.
And then you overthink it and you wind up going back to where you were.
Yeah.
So
it's so true. So true. Overthinking can be your worst, you know, nightmare sometimes. You know, you can actually ruin things by overthinking.
Yeah, yeah. What's your guitar playing style? How do you classify yourself? Do you classify yourself?
I don't classify myself.
Fair
all.
Enough. What are your guitar songwriter? What are your guitar pronouns?
Her name? well, that girl is Pearl over there.
Oh, you do name them, right?
I named that one. This one, she's new. I brought two friends with me. You know, Pearl I've had since I was 21.
And Pearl's a Gibson?
She's a Gibson J50 from 1965. It's you know, Bob Dylan. Think about Bob Dylan.
That's a nice guitar, lady.
I know. And I got it for $200 then. Can you
Did
believe
you
it?
Really?
I put thousands into it. But
Yeah.
And people offer me money everywhere I go for that guitar. I'm like, no.
I have a... So I play an AN-10, a Takamine AN-10.
Uh-huh. Right?
They're really rare. They're not super expensive, but they're really rare. You can't find them.
Beautiful.
So I got one. And then during COVID, I was doing these like Facebook Lives just to play, and I've beat the. They were discontinued, I want to say, in like 2004, and I'm beating the living crap out of this guitar. And so this guy writes me, and he's like, "Hey, you talk about your guitar a lot." He goes, "I have one," I go, "What's your number? Name your number." And I will.
Oh, wow.
Right? And he goes, I'll tell you what. You pay for shipping. I'll send it to you. And then you tell me what you think. I open it up. Now, this was 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Discontinued in 2007. Oh. Guitar had never been played.
Whoa.
And
that's a find.
Yeah. So I write him and I'm like, pick your number. You never touched this guitar. He goes, no, I didn't. And I'm like, pick your number. And he goes, tell you what. You love it so much. Just take it. And so that's Akatar. Yeah, yeah. That's Akatar.
I love the Finder story.
Oh, man. Just incredible. And then, so now I'm part of this like, group, and anytime an AN10 pops up, somebody sends me a thing. And
do you have multiple AN10?
I have three AN10. Now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Because I think, tell me what, well,
they're all different. They're all from different trees.
Yeah, but to me, the bass sounds like a cello. That's what I like.
Ah, yeah.
Does that sound like a cello to you?
Yeah, it's a very full bass.
Right?
And it's got a beautiful top end.
So, yeah.
Gorgeous.
So, oh, thank you. So,
And what wood is that?
It is...
some kind of special spruce, right?
Can you believe... Hey, Siri, what's the wood in a Takamine AN10?
I'm sorry. I didn't quite catch it.
I'll look it up for you.
You'll tell me later.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's really pretty. I've been looking at Loudons. I've been thinking about buying a Loudon. And the reason why I ask is because I can't remember what wood it was, but it's the same wood I can tell from looking at as the Loudons that I really respond to, which is some kind of maybe, I don't know, not Sitka spruce, some kind of special spruce.
I can't believe I don't know this. I'm blanking on it right now.
It's got a certain color to it. I recognize it. I recognize the wood.
Do you want to play something to get us started?
Sure.
What do you want to do?
Well, that's a good question. Since I just told you that story, I feel like I should just play that song, the story of... You know,
the car crash song?
The car crash song. So, you know what? I tried to write this song 15 years ago and 14 years ago and 13 years ago. And the thing is, this is brand new. So you're going to have to just bear with me on being brave here. It's, you know, it's a hard way into a song that, you know, about getting hurt, but then finding something great about it. For me, you know, I really dug deep into music after that, but also personally it was, I realized the end of my marriage, and that was actually
at the same time the car crash ended your marriage.
It was already over, but I wouldn't admit to it,
right?
And
but now you got a lot of time to sit around and think.
Now I'm like, oh yeah, that's what happened. And
how long were you married?
12 years. We were together a few years longer than that, so it was, you know, close to 17 years.
Do you have kids?
I have one daughter.
How old?
She is in college. She's 22.
Oh,
I'm so proud of her.
I gotta get
She's an artist.
That's awesome.
She's up at Tufts in SMFA. She's an art student, and I'm so proud of her. She's graduating
this
year.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah. Okay, so what I'll do is I'm going to set this up because I need a little cheat sheet of my doc here. So excuse this.
No problem at all.
And we will, hopefully this will stay. Will this stay? Okay. You guys can't see what's happening here, but I think it's going to stay, right? Yeah. I feel like there's another way. It's supposed to clip. Hold on. All right, you can entertain the masses for 1 second.
Hold on, I'll play while you're... No, just kidding.
Yeah, do you have something to play? I'm ready.
All right, beautiful.
All right, I'm ready. So so my way into this song was to think about... I suddenly remembered the woman that I shared the room with. I was in my own little world, and I wasn't thinking about what she was going through. And I realized... there are no mistakes, you know?
Yep.
And I often feel that way about the accident for me, because it really brought me fully into my music and writing. It's called Dear Lady. I think it's in tune. Dear lady in the room, who is in the next bed? The one with bandaged hands that the nurses fed. I wonder how you are, and if you see all your scars like I do as works of art.
or salvation, tattoos from God. I recall they pulled the curtain around your little hell when your husband came around to alleviate his guilt with the pastor, wish, sir, talking faster about forgiving life's disasters for your happy ever afters, for your happy ever. He was sorry he flipped the car when he drifted off to sleep, but the accidental cuts and burns were not the first thing that he ever did to you, but it's the last thing you'd let him do, and I knew it from your midnight crying while I floated with the angels on high. Mm, do-do-do-do. Sister queen of morphine dreams, victim of the road just like me. Saved that night to find every other light. Now I found it and I know this, I know this, I know. Do you know? Do you know? When I got my staples out and got my legs to walk, I met a friend at a local bar and she bought me a shot. And she said, I'm jealous now, 'cause you know things like the why and the how, and you don't even know yet. And I just sat there, but I finally own it. And I just sat there, but I finally show it. 'Cause I live it, I breathe it and know it. And dear lady, I hope you finally know.
Nice.
You're the first people to hear it.
That's beautiful.
It's a little rough around the edges, so it's a little...
No, that's beautiful, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
I love your playing, too. That's beautiful.
Thank you.
You come to the studio anytime. You're a finger picker.
I'm also a strummer. I love strumming.
Where do you stand on shredding?
Oh, I love shredding.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
I hate it.
I'm not a shredder.
No, I know you're not, but
I'm not a shredder. I love when people shred.
Do you?
When they're good at it in the right place. There's a place for
it. There's a place for it.
Oh, yes, yes.
But I always say, like, you can go on YouTube and you can see a 6-year-old shred. You don't go on YouTube see a 6-year-old do James Taylor arpeggio.
That's true. That's true. That's true. Well, I feel like my guitar playing just supports me, and that's where I'm at with it. You know, I love strumming. You know, I love a good rhythmic strum, and you know, I could do a song like that. But that felt right for that song.
Yeah.
You know, I was like thinking about all the Bob Dylan stuff that I've just seen. You know, with Timothée Chalamet, and it was really getting me to think of Bob Dylan a lot this week, and so I wrote that, you know, last couple days. So, you know, so that's why I was like doing the descent.
Right.
Although I'm getting like some Jackson Brown feelings from that too. But, yeah, so that's why I was doing a descent on that and just a finger picking thing.
Beautiful, beautiful. Now, you teach songwriting.
I mentor songwriting. Yeah. I don't like to say teach because no one can teach songwriting. I work with people individually and as a group. I work with Zara Williams at her songwriting retreats 2-3 times a year, and actually 3-4 times a year. We just finished our online retreat, which is amazing. It's so much fun. And I started it with Dar in 2013 and two other people. And we're just having so much fun with all the people. And we've had hundreds and hundreds of people come through our doors and hundreds of people come back. And it's a family. It's a community of songwriters and thinkers and feelers who are amazing and inspiring. So... I have workshops during the retreats in the summer. We're in guest house in Chester, Connecticut.
Okay, cool.
And
philosophical question.
Yes.
I got in trouble for this.
I love your questions.
Here we go.
Okay.
Is there a better in music?
Is there
a better?
A better?
And a best. Is there a better and a best in music?
I see where you're going with this.
Whether it be songwriter, guitar player, blah, 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 blah.
Okay, no.
I'm going to say. Correct. There we go.
I'm going to say there's no perfect song. That can be a damning sentence.
Mm.
I thought about that because I started to say, oh, that was a perfect song in my head to certain things I would hear. And then I'd say, nope, just perfect for me.
Right.
But, and that's what it is. It's so subjective. So what's better, you know, who's a better, you know, lyricist? Bob Dylan or Joni Mitchell, you know, how can you say that?
Right.
You know, you can't classify that. And it's going to be personal for everyone, you know, just like looking at a painting. You're going to love one painting in the museum more than I will, and I'll love another one. And
right.
It's perfectly fine.
Right, right, right.
So
how do you know when you're done with a song?
Good question. I like to... just do a simple recording in GarageBand or whatever on my phone and listen back to it a bunch of times and then play it out. And if it doesn't feel right when I'm playing it for someone else, I will know what part wasn't right. It's something in the air. Maybe it's, again,
right.
I'm a conduit for that reaction or, like, what's not hitting people. But I think songs tell you when they're done, and sometimes, you know, the timer does too. Sometimes you're like, oh, that song was 4 minutes. That's like, you know, no one's going to pay attention that long, you know, and you have to decide if that's where you're going with that song. And I'm not saying there's no place for a 4-minute song, but we do live in a time period where people don't pay attention very long.
Right. So you're writing for them?
No.
So then what do you care if it's 8 minutes?
Well, I am writing to share, but I write for myself, if that makes any sense, because I'm trying to hit the universal through the personal.
Okay.
So that's always been my approach. I hit the universal through the personal. So if, you know, I'm writing that song that I just wrote, it's a very specific song to my story in life, but I'm hoping that we can all relate to something in it. And I do want to hold your attention. If it felt too long, well, you can tell me, you know, what you thought. But, you know, if it felt too long, I'm going to lose people in the storytelling and the navigating of that, you know, feeling. And
that's always been – that's a critique of mine for songwriters. I have two pet peeves about songwriters that I hear.
Oh, do spill.
One is they stop – when they're happy with it.
And
I think I'm like you. I kind of think there's a channeling that happens.
Yeah.
But then I think you have to curate.
Yes.
You got something, but you have to curate.
Yes.
But I find songwriters and it's why I love what you do, mentoring it. I hear songwriters, and you can tell that they stopped it when they liked it, instead mm-hmm. of, have I gotten everything out of this that I can get out of it? Mm-hmm. Even if it goes to something that I don't like.
Yeah.
It can, but so that's the first one. The second thing is, if I can predict the next line in your song and I've never heard it before,
oh yeah,
I'm out.
Yeah.
And have you done that? Where you,
I turn off my ears, you know, when I am.
If you say everything's all right, it's, and I go, but it's going to be a long, long night, and then you say, but it's going to be a long, long night, I'm out.
Yeah. 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 Absolutely. Yeah.
And okay. So it's not just me. Good.
No. I do. I mean, maybe not all listeners, you know, care about that. I don't write for that listener. Let me put it that way. I don't write for that listener. I want to have my own novel take on the rhyme scheme I'm presenting. Let's mm-hmm. put it that way. And I want to keep it true to the story, whatever it is, you know.
Do you cry when you write?
Sometimes, yeah.
Did you cry when you wrote that?
No, but I'll play you a song that I cried when I wrote, because it was so hard. You know, some songs just hit me so much because it's like my therapy. At the same time, I'm dealing with emotions and putting myself in a very vulnerable place. And if you can't do that as a songwriter, you have no business, as Lucinda Williams says, you have no business writing a song if you're not willing to go dark or get into that place that hurts.
Mm.
She said, you know, somebody had asked her at a concert, you know, after a concert, you know, how do I have to be vulnerable or in pain to write a song? And she said, yes. And he said, I don't think I can do that. I don't think I can go to those places. And she said, well,
then you're not ready.
Then you're not writing.
Yeah.
And I do believe that, you know, I do believe that certain songs really are gut wrenching to write. And that's when you're getting to your truth, which, you know, it should always be about that, you know.
Is there anything that's happened to you that you're afraid to write a song about?
I think I just wrote it. Yeah, I think
that
song,
was the one.
I think I was afraid to write that. You know, maybe there are a couple other things, but I do take them on. I really do take on my fears in songwriting. It helps me. What about you?
So, do you know my story?
I don't know your story. Tell me your story.
I'll give you the third listener. Fast forward 90 seconds. I was crazy, like batshit crazy. Underwear, aliens, BB guns, crazy, suicidal.
Okay.
And got arrested, facing 350 years in jail.
Was this substance abuse related?
No, just crazy.
Okay.
And so I worked, my seven-year-old daughter essentially saved my life, and we worked through everything. And
oh, wow.
It ended nice. But
what a beautiful story.
So I did a kind of a one-man show about it called Home From Here, which is what gave birth to the podcast. And I wrote there's like 14 songs in it, right?
Mm.
But I never touched on the point where I decided to take my own life.
Because
I'm like, that's just too freaking scary. So one day I'm like, dude, you just have to let it go. And so I have written a song. And then my wife had this head and neck cancer journey. There was a song I wrote about that too that was tough. But this one was the toughest one because it cues me right back to where exactly that moment where I'm like, no, there's, you know, everything's better off without me. It's time to go.
Yeah.
So it's still hard to do, but
it's a dark subject. But thank you for taking that on, because, you know, so many, you know, people do have suicidal ideation, and it's a really important topic to address.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. It helps people by sharing your story.
Well, that actually started the show. I started saying, like, I was crazy, and I, you know, and I was going to kill myself, and, you know, my daughter saved my life. But and it's funny because even, like, people bristle at the
word. Now I want to hear the song. Will you play it?
Sure. If I can get through it. No, I could probably do it. Let's see.
I'm really into hearing
this. All right, now you mentor songwriters, so all right, let's see. there's not much I'll miss about any of this. I never slept, I always kept you in my head. The only thing I don't see is the future you claim's right in front of me. Well, I don't have your eyes, and this world tells big lies anyway. Softly, gently bring my wine. I have risen to a thousand suns I loved just one time. Angel wings, these songs I sing, my daughter's on my mind. And yes, I tried, I heard the angels sigh, and I saw my own tide. So tell her I tried. Whisper on me, half coward, half tragedy. You say I have choice, that's the one voice I don't have in my head. Softly, gently bring my wine. I have risen to a thousand wars, just not this time. And angel wings, these songs I sing, my daughter's on my mind. And yes, I tried, I heard the angels sigh, and I saw my own tide. So tell her I tried. Here it is. Look, there's no poetry, there's just no alternatives to better off without me. And I hope my God is friendly, and I hope he grows up kind. I do not care if you forgive me, but I hope he tells the children would have loved to know her children. And I hope she tells the children, tells them I tried. Now softly, gently bring my wine. Risen from a thousand wars, just not this time. And angel wings, these songs I sing, my daughter's on my mind. And yes, I tried, I heard the angels sigh, and I saw my own tide. So tell her, it's time. Then tell her goodbye. Then tell her I tried. I heard the
beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
So heavy too, and so poignant, and there's so many things I could say right now. So beautiful.
Thank you. I built a vamp in there for when I start crying, because I always start crying in the middle of it.
So like,
there's a couple extra measures where I.
When did you write it?
That's about 7 years ago now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, no, there are still songs that can make you cry, and
right?
You know, it's you know, when you said that line, tell my daughter I tried. Mm-hmm. Is that the line? And tell her children. Was it tell her children?
I hope she tells her children.
I hope she tells her children.
Yeah. Her name's like, Gramercy, so I call her Jesus. I hope she tells her children.
I was like, okay, I'm not going to cry now. I'm not going to cry. All right. But yeah, no, that's, you know, that's really beautiful. It's really beautiful. Thank you.
I got a check mark from somebody who mentors songwriters now.
I'm giving you two check marks.
Two check marks. Nice. Okay, play yours.
And a plus.
Thank you.
Plus.
Ooh, and a plus.
But okay.
It's because you were going to go first.
No,
I stepped on you.
No, I did already go first. I already played a song. So I'll play a song that I was talking about. Speaking of daughters. So my daughter, I'll speak about my daughter, who's going to hopefully get a Fulbright scholarship, I hope, this year, which
awesome.
I'm really excited. She's in the finals. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah. And she's also a printmaker, and she's doing a print off representing the School Museum of Fine Arts. So
beautiful.
Yeah, against RISD and BU and Mass College of Arts. So she's it's going to be fun. So I'm excited about her future. And I wrote this song. It's called Like the Sun. And I wrote this song when she was heading off to high school.
Oh.
How old is your daughter?
17. She's a senior in high school. She's
exactly when I wrote this song. Oh. So I wrote it that year, like in January or February,
around this time of year.
I was starting to realize, uh-oh, you know, she's going to college. She's going away. She wasn't going to be living with me anymore, even though it was the pandemic. It was 2020. And I started to get really emotional. And I was like, I want to write a song for her. I want to write a song about this. I have all these feelings. So I kept saying, oh, she's going to be like the sun, you know, because it's that point in time in someone's life where they just kind of expand and they shine. And I said, well, why does it hurt so much? I mean, it's a really good thing to be like the sun.
Right.
And so I started really turning that around and around and around in lyrics and melodies in my head. And so I started the song and started singing it in the shower and crying. And I couldn't play it without crying for the longest time.
I understand.
So this is just one of those songs. And I apologize. I had a cold a couple weeks ago, so I'm still a little froggy. So I'm just trying to get rid of the frogs. So I apologize.
Was your daughter during this phase?
Yeah.
During January of her senior year?
Yes.
Was your daughter bitchy?
Well, it was a pandemic, so.
Oh.
Yeah.
So she didn't really get to.
No, it was a weird time.
So I've been talking about my daughter leaving for like since September. I'm like,
does she have senioritis?
She's got senioritis in the
it's
worst.
A thing.
It's a thing.
It's a known thing.
Okay, good. Because I'm like,
I know I was bitchy. I know. I had senioritis.
Because she's like, because in September I'm like, you can't leave. I'm gonna miss you. I can't like. You know, we went through this whole thing together. You can't go, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I knew she was going to, but I'm like, you can't. And then, like, October, November, I was like, all right, I got to take a different perspective, but it's really hard. Like, mid-November, the senioritis hit.
Yeah.
Not coincidentally when she got a car.
Independence.
Yeah. And so then over Christmas, she's like, are you going to miss me? And I'm like, I am. But you're making it easier.
Well, you know, you will. And, you know, here's the thing. In a year, you know, after she's, you know, really past the senioritis, she's going to be like, miss you, Dad. Love you, Dad. Mm. You know, it's going to change so much. It starts changing. It may take longer. It may take less time, depending. But it does come around. It does.
Well, with kids, it's weird.
It's almost chemical.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
With kids, it's so weird because if you do your job right, they break your heart. The goal is I'm going to raise you to devastate me.
That's exactly what this song is about.
Go.
Okay. That's a perfect intro. I feel like I'm going to hit this. Okay. Hold on a second. I've just been hanging out here.
You want more guitar than that?
No, that's okay.
That's okay?
Yeah, that's good. One day you'll become like the sun, like the sun. My unwitting one, my little one, my only one. You have no clue who you are, but I do. You've changed the skies a thousand times while I watched you. I hope you'll know that to stay is sometimes to go. And on your own, you can feel just like you're finding home. I'm not one to pray, but I did my own way. And I asked the night to tell the moon to keep you safe. I hope you'll know that to stay is sometimes to go. And on your own, you can feel just like you're finding home. Someday you'll become like the sun, like the sun. And I'll rain for you, but you'll rise and know that I loved your light. So I let you go, and on your own, can feel just like you're finding home. Yeah, on your own, feels just like you're finally home.
Yeah, man.
Thank you.
That's fantastic.
Thank you.
God. To stay is to go.
A lot of people tell me they cry or that one.
Yep,
so
yeah,
it's like. Yeah, I have a lot of people when I do shows come up to me after that one and they're crying.
Yep.
And they say, I have a 17-year-old or I have a 16-year-old. But somebody did come up to me crying with a 5-year-old. So that was an interesting, so I was like, oh, okay, new application. 5-year-olds going to
very unique grade. Application because you have time.
You have time. That story.
Do you find... Because you first classical piano, right?
Yeah, 10 years.
10 years classical piano. Do you find do you find classical training helps you, like theory and helps you or hinders you?
Well, initially it hindered me completely.
Yeah.
I couldn't write songs for the longest time on a guitar, even though I played a lot of guitar as a kid too. self-taught, you know, just figuring things out. But I think it hindered me after a certain point. I couldn't get that out of my head, you know. All the rigorous training I had, it's a good thing and it's a bad thing. Now it's a great thing. Initially it was not good. Now it's great because I understand it more, and I can run over to a keyboard and understand things that I've just heard in my ears on a guitar, or I'll write something on piano. And I just wrote a song on piano, for instance, that I just brought to a guitar this week. And I was like, oh, that's exciting to figure out what that guitar tuning is to make that work, you know, like it does on piano. That was really fun to figure out the arpeggiation and bring it to the guitar.
You play a lot of alternate tunings or?
Some, yeah. More and more, I think I do to make it interesting. But, you know, there's nothing like three chords and the truth also, you know.
Right. You know? Do you, you play out a lot?
I play out not as much as I probably will later this year. Because right now I'm just trying to get things in place for, you know, these album releases and EP releases and stuff. So trying to set that all up for...
Are you good at that, the business part of it?
No. I really, really need a helper. Volunteers from the audience, please. Thank you. No, I really need to figure that out. Yeah,
I don't like that part either.
Yeah, it's hard. I wear a lot of hats, and it's hard to take off one hat and put on the other. I vow to be better about it this year. I really do. I really vow to be better, because I think, you know, with the way I'm not bringing politics into this, but...
You can bring politics into it.
Okay. But just the way the world is working right now, no matter what you believe in, there's a disintegration of community. And we have to work hard to stay connected. And I think that music is a really good way of doing that. So I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I'm going to be better at it for that reason.
There you go.
Yeah.
We, yeah, that community thing's tricky. I know exactly what you're saying. We did this last. Do you follow me on Facebook or no?
Now I do.
There's no right answer. So we did. It was amazing. This guy, his name is Angelo Santilli. He's a brilliant guitar player and singer. And this girl, Sherilyn Ann, she's an amazing voice. She's just like an Aretha Franklin. She's just amazing. And we know this lady named Leslie Wayne, who has been on the show. She, first time she came on the show, she had cancer, and doctors had given her 4 years to live, and she was at like 3 years and 8 months, and now she's at like 5 years and a month. But she can't.
Wow.
It's hard. It's really hard for her to get out of the house. So, and she's basically bedridden. So we went to her house, and she brought a bunch of friends, and we just played for 2 hours.
I saw that on Facebook.
Okay. It was
incredible.
It was the most amazing. And she moved for the first time in like 5 weeks. And just to see what music does, it's just the power of
music.
Really, like that. I'm dedicating myself to harnessing that somehow. I don't know how to harness it. But.
I will connect you with somebody who is doing that right now.
Oh, okay.
Bedside, hospice bedside. In the Hudson Valley.
Okay.
So I will connect you after the show.
Oh, wonderful.
That's important work. And my mom died of cancer
in
2016. Thanks. After a very long battle.
Ugh.
And, we brought her home from the hospital. We knew what the future was going to be. And we just said, well, she wants to die at home. You know, let's, you know, put the hospital bed in the living room and, you know, make it as pleasant as possible after all those months and months and months in the hospital and years, you know, in and out of treatments. So I played guitar. I just sat with her and I played guitar, you know, and, you know, even though she was not able to be too responsive, she suddenly was like dancing with her arms and it was incredible. Oh, we hadn't seen her move and she was just dancing with her arms.
That's beautiful.
It was beautiful.
It is beautiful.
Yeah.
Thanks for doing that, man. That's awesome.
That's
such
amazing.
A weird space to, like, we all know the end is coming, but some of us know it with
clearer vision than others. That is just the weirdest space to be in.
It was a gift. It was a gift.
Yeah. Did you write about it?
I've written about things after. I wrote a song called Osprey and Hawk about, you know, because I kept having these experiences after about winged things, like, you know, butterflies circling my head during a conversation and not circling the other person I was talking to, and hawks swooping down over my skylight and perching and looking down, and, you know, feathers being left at my, you know, at my car door before I took my daughter to camp that my mother had paid for. And, you know, just all of these for 3 months straight. And finally, I just looked up at the sky and said, all right, Mom, I'm writing the song.
There you go.
So I wrote the song. You know, so.
You ever see a medium or a psychic?
Yes, yes, I have. Yeah, I have. I'm open to whatever. I don't think we know everything.
I know a woman. Mm. So she came on the show.
Okay.
Her name is Shayna Moore. And she's a medium, but her gift is to connect you with people who have passed, right?
Mm.
So I'm like, okay, maybe. It'd be an interesting show.
Yeah.
And she came on, and it was interesting, but I didn't buy it. Mm-hmm. So she could kind of tell I didn't buy it.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're done, she said, why don't I do a reading for you?
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll see. So I go to her office in her house. I go to her house.
Mm-hmm.
At this time, my daughter's name is Gramercy, but nobody knew it. I always called her the package.
The
whole other story. And she was she wanted to go on this senior trip to the Bahamas
uh-huh.
with this company called Grad City, which gets 50% good reviews and 50% bad reviews, and they're you know, there's not really chaperones. It's just
Oh.
So me and her were in debate about this subject, but nobody else knew. Like, she didn't even, what she does is if she wants something, she comes to me, we work out how to pitch it to her mom, and then we pitch it to her mom.
There's an angle.
So, but nobody knew this. So I go to her house, she does the reading,
mm-hmm.
and she said some stuff, and about, but one thing she nailed is she's like, feathers are your sign. And I'm like, they are. They've always been like, if I need to know I'm doing the right path, feather. And always been my sign. So that she nailed. But you could kind of like, if you look
at. Well, you mean a feather would show up for you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised.
But you could, if you knew me, you could kind of.
It's mine too.
Okay, cool. Beautiful.
It's mine too, yeah.
So I was like I left and I'm like, okay, 70%, right? Like,
yeah.
But if you looked at like the Lifted Project logo is a feather. So I'm like, okay, like, you know, maybe whatever, I don't know. We get down to her foyer and she says, can I get a picture with you? And I'm like, sure, you can get a picture. She goes to do the selfie, which I suck at, and she gets a phone like this and she's like, Graham. And I'm like, Gramercy? She goes, yeah. She goes, Bahamas? And I go, yeah. She goes, don't worry about it, she'll be fine. There were two people on earth who knew that we were going. Going for that. Two people. How crazy is that?
That it's not crazy at all. I'm not surprised at all.
Okay.
I have a reading every year with a songwriter in LA.
Oh, you do?
Who has come to the Dar Williams retreats, and I didn't know he was a reader, you know, and he did psychic readings, and he is a medium, and he's great. I do phone consultations with him once a year around my birthday, and he picks up on things like names, and he just has that sight, you know, that vision that some people have, and you know, we all have it. I think you probably have it too, you know,
maybe
someone loves you.
I know who that is. I used to be like really skeptical, and then I thought about dogs, mm-hmm. and I'm like, wait a second. Dogs can hear things you can't hear. So there's obviously sound you can't hear.
Yeah.
So you're not picking up on everything, John. So maybe there's things.
There are other frequencies.
Yeah.
I swear there are other frequencies that we're not tuned into all the time. And some people are more tuned into them. And I've had too many strange coincidences in life to say no to that. I mean, it makes the universe a more expansive place.
Right.
And, you know, I think it's definitely out there, you know, it's out there for us to think about.
Mm. Yeah. Are you seeing anybody?
I'm seeing myself right now.
Okay. All right. Do you think about dating? Do you think about?
Yeah, I do. Right now I've been in a cloistered kind of mode coming off of something. So yeah, I'm sort of in my writer, hermit, music.
That's a cool space.
Photo stylist by day, mom/whatever human being, concerned citizen mode. That's where I'm at right now. So
that's a good mode.
Yeah.
Would you ever, so you had a breakup?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you write about it?
Oh, yeah. Of course. Okay. I always write about breakups.
Yeah. They're the best.
Yeah.
I'm married like 25 years. I'm screwed. I was telling her the other day. I'm like,
well, you can pull back in the files. You know, you can go way back.
Yeah. And there are a couple cases in the files.
You can go back to your friend's files.
Right.
Go to your friend's files.
Okay. I'm like, I'm going to leave you, not because I don't love you anymore, but because I haven't written a relationship song in like a year and a half. And we need to get going on that.
You need material.
Yeah, right.
Like, I need material.
We were texting about this, how like the song your best song is always the last one.
Yeah, that you wrote. Yeah.
Do you ever cringe? Do you ever go back and play like stuff that you wrote? Like,
sure,
and you cringe.
Well, you know, sure, you know, you always love it at least for 24 hours, right?
Yeah.
So, you know. Usually I have to tweak things. Like the song I just played, I was cringing at my singing because I, you know, had laryngitis 2 weeks ago. So I was like, oh, all right, well, we're not quite there yet. So that first song I played, I was like, well, hello, voice at, you know, 11:30 in the morning.
Yeah, but I think that's cool, though.
But, you know, it's like, well, I'm just presenting it honestly. However I am right now is however it's going to be, and we just go with it.
I got the best singing lesson ever, and I've sworn by it ever since, and which is why I don't worry any, because I used to torture myself.
Mm. You have a very nice voice.
Oh, thank you. Well, I do now. I didn't. I did an evening with James Taylor for like 2 decades.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you play enough James Taylor, you can't help it. You start trying to sound like James Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that, right? And then that
beautiful.
That woman, yeah, but it's not really my voice.
Good to sound like you, too.
It's an impression. It's better to sound like you. Yeah, I was doing like an impression, right? So I was talking to that woman, Cher, that was on the video that you saw. She's a vocal coach. And I go, I don't have the attention span for lessons, but teach me how to sing in a sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, no matter what time of day it is, no matter where you are, no matter who you're singing for, just sing like you talk.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, that's the move, right?
Right. And to listen to yourself, I guess, you know, as much as you can.
Do you like the sound of your own voice?
I hate the sound of my voice talking. That's like a thing. You know, hard to hear. I think it happens to everyone, right? It's hard to hear my voice talking. I always think, oh, do I really sound like that?
I think you have
a
great speaking voice.
That's interesting. It's a hard
thing. You don't like it. Do you like your singing, though?
Sometimes. Sometimes I'm okay with it. Sometimes I'm really hypercritical of my voice when I'm recording, when I'm in the studio. And, you know, I...
You want a nightmare? I'm going to give you a nightmare.
Oh, okay.
You ready?
All right, I'm ready.
So I do this lifted project thing, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a choir piece.
A lot of voices.
Yeah. So, but I got to write the song.
Right.
So, and I got to cut a demo for the song. Because the whole trick with the Lifted Project is you don't get to rehearse it.
Okay. Oh.
So you just show up with 38 other people and there's no rehearsal. We just do it the first time.
And you do it where?
Well, last time we did it at the Hudson Valley Airport.
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. This time we're doing it at the Center for Performing Arts in Rhinebeck.
Oh, nice.
And,
nice. Beautiful place.
Yeah. And we got so lucky to get there. And so I got to cut a demo for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the sound of my recorded voice at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I have to cut a demo. It's a choral piece. So the producer says, this is what we're going to do, Burton. You're going to sing the song. You're going to sing. And there's not really like, unrehearsed, you can't really arrange it. All you can do is like layer it because it's too much work to get people to sing different parts.
Yeah.
So he said, but we want the choir effect. So what we're going to do is you're going to sing the line.
Yeah.
And then you're going to sing it again. Then you're going to sing it again. And I'm just going to keep layering it on top so it sounds like there's 20 of you in the room.
So you're doubling, tripling, quadrupling your voice.
20-ing.
Oh, nice.
If you don't like the sound of your own voice.
Yeah.
And now you hear it, a choir of you. Go home. You record at home, right?
Sometimes. I mean,
go home and do that. And then call me when you haven't slept for 3 days. It's a nightmare, man.
So you didn't like your voice 20 times over?
No. I don't like it one time over.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no. You got to, you know, there's only one you. And there's only one you in this time, in this space with this voice.
Yeah.
You know, and your voice has your story in it.
Yeah.
So, you know, some people might not technically have incredible voices, but there's an honesty to that. And that's beautiful, you know.
Your boy Dylan.
Dylan.
There you go.
Dylan, my boy Dylan. You know, there's a great example. I was about to say Dylan.
Oh, okay.
But, then I thought, I've already mentioned
Dylan. Can you imagine it? Like, what do you think his psyche's like? He's one of America's greatest songwriters.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the knock on his voice is so hard too. Like, do you think he goes, "I'm one of America's greatest songwriters," or "nobody likes my voice"?
I don't think he gives a you know what. I really don't think he cares. What I think it's more about the writing for him. It's always been about that than the presentation. His guitar playing was always very basic. His his singing was always his own thing and. It wasn't, I mean, he knew, you know, he was booed out of the Midwest, you know, all the way to the East Coast before he really got started, you know. So he had been rejected already.
Right.
And then he was like, well, F it, you know, here I am in New York City in Greenwich Village. It's the 60s and I'm going to do my thing. And here I am. And it was like that, nothing to lose, but I'm all in for the writing. And it was the right time for it too.
Right.
You know, and what a fabulous talent. Yeah.
Do you, biggest inspiration for you as a singer-songwriter?
Oh, I have a lot of inspirations. I'm inspired working with Dar Williams.
I have a funny Dar Williams story.
Oh, cool. I'm inspired by Dar. I've gotten to know her work really well and her writing process, and I see her songs in flux, and she's a poet and a thinker and a writer and a feeler, so that's really important. But you know, I have other influences. I love Lucinda Williams, I love Bob Dylan, I love Paul McCartney, I love the Beatles, really foundational for me, the Beatles, Joni Mitchell, I love Brandi Carlile.
Who's your favorite guitar player?
Oh,
there's a right answer to this, by the way.
Are you going to say James Taylor?
For the first 55 years of my life, yes, I would have said that.
Yeah.
What I love about him is he lets the guitar do half the work. I rant about that all the time. Like,
an amazing guitar player.
But like, this is what I don't like about shredding is, especially on an acoustic guitar, and electric, but electric too. Like, you don't.
There's a place for it. There's always.
There is a place, but you don't.
In a band setting.
Yeah, yeah. But let the guitar do some work. Leave some space between notes so that you can. That you can partner with the guitar.
Absolutely.
All right. Your favorite guitar player.
My favorite guitar player. Well, right now I really have been listening and loving. Do you know Adrian Lenker?
No.
Okay, Big Thief.
Do I need Adrian Lenker in my life?
Okay, well, I love her approach to guitar playing. I love...
Is she on Spotify?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Hold on.
I love her songwriting, her poetry, which really are her lyrics. I love how she breaks a lot of rules, songwriting rules.
Got her.
And it's naively beautiful. And her, she has a lot of alternate tunings. I saw her in concert recently and was really impressed by just how sparse the guitar was sometimes, but the tunings are really interesting. And she just did the right thing at the right time. And that's the art that we were just talking about.
Yes.
Not noodling over things.
Right.
But, you know, it was just really sensitive playing, and I love that. And Neil Young is one of my favorite guitarists.
I've never gotten into Neil Young.
Really good guitar playing, you know.
Where do you write?
Where do I write?
Yeah, do you have like
everywhere?
Everywhere. Okay, so you don't have like a particular stool and a particular
stand. No, I'm not like a regimented person.
How many guitars do you have?
A lot. Yeah.
What's a lot?
Well, I mean, I don't think it's a lot for someone like me. I don't know, maybe 8 or so. You know,
8's getting up there.
Yeah, that's good. I try to. I try to call the herd a little bit every once in a while, you know, every once in a while. I'm like, well, really, are you playing that one? Maybe you should trade that in and, you know, sell that and get something else that you're going to use more. And but I think I try to cover a lot of different sounds. I'm actually looking for a couple of new guitars right now because I feel like I just want more sounds around me.
You play 12 string?
No, that hasn't been my thing, but I love a good 12-string sound. Do you?
Yeah. Like in that video you saw, that's a 12-string.
Oh, that's a 12-string.
No, I'm lying. It's not. I just lied to you. Sorry.
But you play a 12-string.
Most of that afternoon was 12-string. I actually, it's funny. I learned on classical guitar, which I think everybody should.
I did too because, it was around my house. That's
why your right hand is so good, I bet. And
not sure.
Here's why you should learn on a classical guitar. Number one, neck's wider, so everywhere else you go is going to be easier to play.
Yeah.
Number two, nylon strings, so you can stay on a guitar longer.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt
as
much.
It's really good when you're starting to have nylon strings.
Absolutely. So I did that, and then I went away to college, and my graduation present was a 12-string guitar.
And where'd you go to college?
Northwestern College, not the university. College, little tiny college in Iowa, nowhere.
Uh huh.
But all I had was a 12-string guitar. And then I wound up touring in college. But I could only afford the one guitar. So I did like everything. I played 12-string guitar exclusively for easily 12 years.
Oh, wow.
And then, I love that sound. But
I love the sound. Yeah. I mean, you sound like two people.
Yeah,
you just doubled.
But then there's that, you know, that joke
about.
But then
there's the tuning.
I was about to say. what is a perfectly tuned 12-string guitar sound like? We'll never know.
Yeah.
But the trick is, I learned a trick. If you ever, even like tuning a regular guitar now, because I used to do this a lot, and then I started tuning the guitar to itself. Like I would just
Which is better.
It is better,
it's
right?
So much better.
Yeah.
I start with the Snark and, you know, tune it, and then I check it against itself, basically.
That's the move, right?
Yeah, and then I use my ears for the very final part. So it's like a three-part tuning process for me.
Right.
It's like I just use my ears at the end because it's like even tuning against itself sometimes isn't good. So sometimes I just have to like finesse a string or something.
Right.
But yeah, it's a thing. It's a thing.
All right. You got to come back because we're running out of time.
All right. Well,
will you come back?
I will come back.
Will you play us out of here?
I will play you out. What do you want to...
First off, where do we hear your music?
RaquelVidalMusic.com. I will be live streaming a show Tuesday, February, whatever it is, 19th. Is that a Tuesday? Let's see. I'll tell you. I'm looking at my calendar. Tuesday, February 18th. And I will be posting it there by the time this posts. And I'm about to post some gigs. So anyway...
And the gigs we find out at same...
Yeah, RaquelVidalMusic.com or DiamondHotelBand.com, which will bring you to the same place.
Okay.
And
then if we want to hire you for gigs, how do we get a hold of you?
Same place. Find me on Facebook, find me Instagram, wherever. You can reach out, and I would love to, you know, play for you.
Beautiful.
So I'll figure out... I'm gonna play you out. All right. Play us
out. And you'll come back?
I will come back. Do you want me back?
Yes.
I'll come back. Yeah.
I definitely want you back.
Okay. Great. Can I do a louder song?
You can do anything you want.
All right. We'll try this. We'll this
need,
is just a little
a
more upbeat here. Sure.
I play with bass picks. Does that bother you?
Oh, actually, I've got my picks right here.
Oh,
what am I saying? And I might not. Oh, first thing I take out is bass pick. That's weird.
Do you play with bass pick ever?
Never. And I mean, it looks a little oversized. That was weird. I was like, I never play with a bass pick. I must have. I steal picks like, you know, like people steal pens.
Right.
Like, it's kind of bad. So anyway, I will. I will play this song for you, and it's called You Took, and I hope you don't mind. It's a little louder. I don't know if we have to adjust me or anything.
Hit something first.
Yeah. Let's see if this sounds... Oh, I'm playing it five or six. I'll play it at five here. Okay.
Still morning. Well, actually, it's not anymore, but...
All right. I might actually do it without a pick.
Okay.
doing? You good?
You're good.
All right, we'll get started.
Thank you for coming.
Thanks,
man.
So much for having me.
Yeah. All right. Bye. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Good?
All right. That was fun.
Oh, awesome.
That was a lot of fun.
Oh, good.